7:46, 14 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Occasionally there are people that come upon the media scene that just, they just for whatever reason, have it. And they just, like Mike Haas was like that when he first started, remember, with Hoda Kotb and Moss Man? And our next guest is one of those people, Ross Jackson, host of the Locked On Saints podcast. How you doing, Ross?
Oh, I'm doing great. Oh, that's so kind of you. Thank
well,
you for saying
it's,
that.
It's true. What is your background? Tell me your background, because I want to know a little bit more about you.
Yeah, sure. So I guess my professional career actually started in theater, but I wasn't on the performance side. I was doing stage management. And so I went through undergrad and grad school working on stage management. I did national tours, Broadway, off-Broadway, regional theater, all that for a long time. And then got an early opportunity to kind of start writing around 2017. It was for like an internet blog, and I just kind of rolled the dice on it. And then everything kind of grew from there. We started podcasting. David Locke heard one of my solo shows, asked me to jump on as the host of Locked On Saints, and everything kind of took off from there. That was in about 2018. And then, you know, everything just kind of went astronomical after a certain point, gave me the opportunity to be able to move back home, which was always the dream.
See, that explains it, because I think there's something to be said for somebody that has done every job and on their way up. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Sure.
And I sense that in you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. The one thing that I never got to do that I wish I would have done, And I talk about this with like younger people that want to get into media all the time, is I never got to cover high school football. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big skill set that I missed out on, just taking the non-traditional path, because it teaches you how to count yard markers, how to track your own stats mm-hmm. live all throughout a game, how to beat a deadline, all those other things. But I do agree with you. I mean, the more things that you can do, kind of like these, you know, undrafted guys and these guys on NFL rosters that kind of need to show, hey, as versatile as I can be, the more things that I can do, the better chance I've got to make it. That was a big part of my mindset as
Let's
well.
Let's talk about Yeoman Stadium last night. What did you see? What stood mm-hmm. out to you?
Yeah, first of all, just the event itself is awesome. It's mm-hmm. one of my favorite events that the Saints do every year. It's so intimate, but yet feels so big at the same time. You get that.
Let me jump in. I saw you last night with, his name escapes me. The new sports director at Channel 4.
Oh, Ricardo Lecompte.
Ricardo Lecompte, mm-hmm. yeah. And you were talking about the proximity and how close the people were. And it really is that case, a very intimate setting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's very little separation from the inside of the sideline, right, to where the fans are there. And it's great. I mean, it's awesome. You can feel the energy, everything like that. And you can see that kind of play through with the players as well. I thought guys like Tyler Shuck and Chris Olave continued to have your really strong performances, as we've continued to see all throughout training camp. Good to see Chris out there after he had to leave Tuesday's practice early after coming down hard on his back. Just got the wind knocked out of him, it sounds like. I thought there were a few other standouts as well that I'm sure we'll hit. But, of course, the big conversation coming out of this one was the kicker battle, which mm-hmm. still feels like it has no separation. And now there's three guys.
Even between three of them, no separation?
Yeah, I wouldn't say so. Not yet. Now, wow. To Daniel Carlson's, you know, to respect for Daniel Carlson, he just showed up about a week ago, mm-hmm. A little bit less than a week ago, right? And so he's kind of at the tail end of this thing with just practice at Yeoman Stadium, where he went 7 of 8 with a miss from about the mid 40 range. It was kind of hard to see the exact yard line where the holder was, but mid 40 yard range, he missed one of those 7 of 8 on the day. Charlie Smith went 7 of 8 with a miss from 55, and then Tanner Brown went 8 of 8. But remember, he had the chip shot miss during the Rams preseason game. And so the separation is a little bit hard to find now. And so Carlson had that practice, and he's going to have a kicking session before the Cowboys game, and ideally an opportunity to kick in the Cowboys game where he could potentially create some of that separation. But I don't see it just yet.
You know, if I had this conversation with you or not, but I would, you know, among the things, we'll talk about the Cowboys game when we come back, but among the things mm-hmm. I would do is I'd set it up to put these guys in as many field goal opportunities as I could, because
yes.
we got to make a decision here. We got to decide,
yep.
right? We'll
yep,
pick it up with Ross Jackson when we come back, the host of Locked On Saints podcast, 7:50, 10 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57, back with Ross Jackson, host of the Hooked on the Locked On Saints podcast. I'll get it straight. Ross, who stood out last night to you at Yeoman?
Yeah, I would highlight two wide receivers outside of Chris Olave. Kevin Austin Jr., who's a guy that the room loves and that the team loves. And so he continues to have some nice showings while he's potentially vying for an extra roster spot, depending on how they handle the Jordan Tyson situation to open up the season. Mm-hmm. And then Devon Vele at that position as well. This was a very offense-heavy practice, as a lot of the Tulane practices typically are. It's very red zone heavy, things like that, to make sure everybody, you know, they can go to both end zones, make sure everybody gets a good look. And, you know, Devon Bailey just kind of showed that he can, that not only is he a very good contributor in the middle of the field, but he can be a very good contributor in the red zone. And at 6'5", 210 pounds, you certainly expect that. I thought that he showed that last night.
Let's talk about starters and preseason game and everything else. My own opinion, I don't know how you can get the starters in there, because if you put them in, it's three and out. That's not a good thing. If you put them in again and it's three and out, that's not a good thing. Then how far do you go? You don't want to get anybody hurt. I think it's easier just to rest them and let them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm a little bit more on the side of, like, give them a little bit of exposure, let them come out there and gather some rhythm. But I completely understand the other side of this thing, because there's two realities to it. One is that you want to avoid the injury. You don't want your players to get, your starting players to get hurt. You're dealing with enough injury as it is, the second most injured team in the NFL coming out of training camp, according to a recent independent study. And so I get that. That part to me makes perfect sense. And then the other big question mark is, does the thing that I care about even really matter? Like, does giving them two drives really give them the rhythm going into the regular season? And if you get that rhythm, how much of that matters if you end up losing one of those starters? It doesn't matter anymore. And so I completely understand the decision, for sure.
Or if you don't get any rhythm, then how do you know when to – then you're going in with a – it just seems like if you look at upside and you look at downside, there's a lot more – downside than upside, but that's what they get paid for. Game tomorrow night. Tell me about defense. How'd the defense look last night? What stood out to you?
Yeah, I'll highlight a couple of individual moments. I think pass coverage from Kool-Aid McKinstry has been kind of a story all throughout training camp. He's been really solid all throughout camp. And last night he had a fantastic pass breakup in the back of the end zone, matched up against Chris Olave. Ball from Tyler Shuck. I mean, it's good on good on good. Great on great on great when it comes to, you know, the relative to the roster and how this works. And Kool-Aid McKinstry had been watching Chris Olave make play after play after play here all throughout the night. And he ends up coming up with a fantastic pass breakup at the back of the end zone. Loved it so much, I think he celebrated back to about the 20-yard line, might have been about when he finally stopped celebrating. But it was just a really strong play there. Things didn't deploy their pass rush very much. It was very, very soft, mush rush kind of stuff. You do that in these settings to protect the quarterback, of course. And so not a lot coming from that, but we have seen a lot of standouts from there all throughout camp.
Thank you, Ross. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Talk
Thanks
to you again soon. You bet.
Stay safe. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, sir. Ross Jackson, host of the Locked On Saints podcast. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Joe LoPinto. Sheriff's office seized over $1 million in drugs from a steroid lab that they busted on Wednesday. We'll get the details. Then we'll talk to J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council, about the city's sanitation system and what a potential overhaul could look like. That and more, so stay tuned. Tommy Tucker back in a flash. Rainy Thursday morning, WWL.